With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yo, guys, what's going on? Welcome to Stretford Paddock. I am Adam McCullough. He is Joel Smith. We are back for another Champions League preview. And in the Champions League, we're not doing too badly. We are sitting first. So I suppose this is a good time to have the Champions League back in our lives, given the fact that we all feel down in the dumps, doom and gloom, depressed, whatever you want to call it, we feel it right now after the weekend. Especially in the manner that Manchester United lost against Arsenal. And we will briefly go over that, but we are looking forward to the Champions League game. And right now, it's 100% record in a Champions League game.
It's almost as though there's two different Uniteds to support. There's the Premier League United, which we hate, which we pretend isn't happening, which we ignore. And then there's the Champions League United, where we're like, this is our tournament to lose, lads, at this point. We've started that well. 5-0 against Leipzig, beating PSG away, and I think, you know, controlling the game for large parts of the game. It's almost like you have to separate your brain into two different football fans, which obviously you can't do, but it's strange that the way the outlooks on the season on the two different fronts are at the minute and how contrasting they are. Something that I don't know if I've ever seen as a United fan, where we've started so impressively in the Champions League and so shambolically in the Premier League. It's almost like I don't know whether to be happy, whether to be, well, separate it and think of this as a separate thing, or whether it's all just one and I'm sort of in the middle somewhere. It's weird, isn't it? I've never really experienced this before.
It is weird, but I think it ultimately points to the problems that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer maybe has in that when we are expected to get a result, when we are going into a game confident that we're actually going to win, we very rarely do. It's normally when we're going into games thinking, we're worried about this one. This one's a bit dangerous, and we set up that way and then we'll get a result because of it. And it does feel like he's got a problem dealing with the expectation and the consistency required at a club like Manchester United.
Every game before the match we do on the watch-along, we obviously do like score predictions and stuff. And it seems like every time that Stee expects us to win, we lose. And every time we play against someone good, like he just said, and he expects us to lose like he did against Leipzig, like he did against PSG, we are best suited to overcome the odds and... Maybe I don't think it was just counter-attack against those teams. I don't think it was.
No,
that.
I don't think that.
But
either,
it's almost an underdog mentality. Where we're sort of like, these got to the Champions League semi-final last year. These got to the Champions League final last year. Actually, we've got really good players, and when they play like they're playing against other good players, they look really good. And I almost have more worries about this Istanbul game or these next two Istanbul games, because obviously you play them back to back, than I do against Leipzig next time or against PSG next time, because I think maybe we're going to go into this thinking, this is our game to win. We need to win this. We need to push. We need to build the tempo ourselves. We need to control this game. And that's where, if they just sit back deep, we are going to struggle against them.
I hear you. But I also feel, like you were just saying, you look at it almost as two different seasons. But the reason we do that is because there's such a small sample size of both. It's early in the season for both. There's still, there's still a part of you that could look at the league campaign and think, well, actually, it's not as bad. You know, it's got time to get better. And there's still time for it to get worse in the Champions League, if you get the point I'm trying to make.
We're not through in the Champions League and we're not relegated in the Premier League.
Like, there's still time for either of them to change. But the frustrating thing is, when you start a league, like, I feel like one of those spoilt kids at the moment that just hasn't got their way, so doesn't want to be a part of any of it with the league. I just feel like, fuck it all up.
You came in today, you came into the office, laid down on the table and said, I hate football, I don't want to watch it anymore. So I could... I so I know exactly.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Well, that's the feeling, though. I think a lot of United fans, you're like, what is the point in this? Especially with no fans in the stadium. You're like, you don't really get that full experience anyway. And we're sort of leaning towards this and watching and hoping to get our mood for the whole week given to us by this team. And it's just, you can't rely on it at the moment. But, I mean, that's been the case for a long time, hasn't it? But, yeah, I know what you mean.
I know we're here to talk about Leipzig, but I wasn't with you for the game against Istanbul. Arsenal. Against Istanbul. I wasn't with you for the game against Arsenal. Mm. We're looking at the five games on the screen there, the form. That was our first defeat in five games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had defeats before that. Devil's advocate, it's not my opinion, before people kill me at home. Are we overreacting to that defeat against Arsenal?
I think the thing you have to think... What was the sentence? The thing you have to think with watching football and watching a manager and watching a squad develop and... in theory progress and improve is you have to take a step back and look at the overalls of things. Now, if you want to look down the side of the way that Ole is running the club as a manager, I think there are a lot of things to enjoy. I think, you know, you look at the players in the squad, I think most of them are much more likeable than they were 18 months ago. I think we play a lot more of an attacking style of play. We score more goals in more games than we used to. We have more 4-goal games, more 5-goal games than we have done at any time under since Alex Ferguson. So on that side of things, I like our transfer policy a bit more. I was disappointed with who we ended up getting in the end, but I think there seems to be a methodology to things now. So that side of things has definitely improved. But this inconsistency on the pitch has been the only consistent thing about our time after Ferguson. And that has carried on under Ole. The highs are a bit higher, but the lows aren't much higher. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes, we go on these great runs. Yes, we're currently actually on a 10-game winning streak away from home, which is the longest in the club's history. We're still on that run. And yet our home form is the worst it's been since we were relegated 38 years ago. So that's the thing. The consistency is the thing that is so difficult to get your head around. It's so hard to grasp because there were times yesterday where it looked like we were clueless. Tactically, man for man, they weren't making runs, they weren't making space, they weren't coming to the ball. It was, let's stand behind our marker, wait for the ball to get passed back to the goalie, we'll chip it up to Rashford, Rob Holding beats him in the air because he beats him in the air. And it looked like the players were like, well, what do we do? Mm. And then other times, we defend brilliantly against PSG, last-ditch tackles, last-ditch blocks, great interplay, playing it out. Even against Newcastle, there were some lovely breaks of play. That was a couple of games ago. So it's the consistency that's hard to get your head around, and it almost gives you this futile feeling of thinking, I can't even trust when we're good because we can be bad the next game and then good the game after that. It doesn't seem as though there's any like I can't believe what I'm seeing almost because it never follows through and it never continues in that vein. Mm.
The biggest disappointment for me from that Arsenal game was the amount of respect we showed to an Arsenal side that came into the game sitting around 15th, 16th in the shots had in the table. And I felt like we almost set up like we were playing an invincible Arsenal side rather than an Arsenal side that is feeling a little bit sorry for themselves, had an Aubameyang that hadn't scored in a while, Lacazette that isn't performing. All these players, yes, they had a Thomas Partey who I thought was outstanding, but he's a defensive... Like, we set up to almost accommodate the way they were playing, and it was so easy for them. I thought Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got it wrong.
Yeah.
Incredibly wrong. I thought he got it bang on against Leipzig, bang on against PSG. But in the home games against Chelsea and Arsenal, he got it wrong. He's gone too defensive at home in games we should be winning, given the onus to the opposition, given the momentum to the opposition, allowed them to grow in confidence. And the incredible thing is, this is an Arsenal side that wouldn't have scored if we didn't give him a penalty.
Yeah,
there was never a point in that game where I felt, oh, fuck, there was Arsenal are going to score. You know where they have us on the ropes?
They pulled it back. Lacazette was waiting in the box. Lindelof got the ball away.
First half.
That was it. Yeah, first half.
But besides that, there weren't...
Maybe second
but
yet, half, but whatever.
We weren't really creating chances. It was often a pass to Luke Shaw across into the box. Maguire heads it down. That was it.
Yeah.
And you've got to show more than that. And I'm not saying we don't play football under him, because we've seen at times we do. But it's the inconsistency of that. And I agreed with what Roy Keane said, but I also agreed with what Tim Cahill said. Like, I agreed with Roy Keane that you don't need... Like, Roy Keane didn't need a leader or a manager to inspire him. I understood that. But that we didn't... I find it very lazy when people go to, he don't care. No passion. He's not fighting for the badge. I find it such lazy analysis, because there's usually other reasons in there. And I thought the reason we lost that game against Arsenal, actually, it wasn't because people didn't care. Rashford and Greenwood care. They were isolated out of the game. Bruno cares. He was poor. Pogba was poor. McTominay and Fred, they care. They were poor. Like, these players care, but they were poor on the day. And I feel the setup allowed him, and he didn't change it.
Yeah.
He didn't. There was a moment in that game where I said, take off one of Fred or McTominay, or even Pogba or Bruno, because they all were playing badly.
Yeah.
Take one of them off, put Cavani on through the middle, Rashford, Greenwood out wide, Bruno would be on it, and let's go for it. Like, why are we playing into it? It didn't make sense, and we had the options there, and that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah.
We had the options there.
It's almost as though the Tottenham match has made him think, you know what, we can't have that again. Let's set up a bit defensively. Let's set up to not lose, and then we'll try and win, especially at home. And also, I almost think like...
You have to be organised to do that.
Yeah, of course.
And you have to have patterns of how you're going to get out of
those
positions.
Yeah, when you're pressed back.
And
like
when it wasn't a diamond, we had Fred and McTominay, and then we had like Pogba and Bruno. It was weird. Sometimes Bruno was through the middle as a nine, and Rashford and Green. It was weird. It didn't work. He got it wrong. And it's the... Oh, the team played well against Newcastle, so I'll play them against Chelsea. Oh, we use a diamond against Leipzig, so I'll use that against... That's incredibly naive for me. And it tells me that we're trying to fall upon something rather than it's a plan. Yeah. Because over the last week, I saw three centre-backs, back five, whatever you want to call it, against PSG. A different thing against Chelsea, different against Leipzig. He was changing it around in the games. And I was thinking, fucking hell, this is good.
Got a bit of movement here in terms of tactics.
And he's a bit flexible.
Yeah.
But then he didn't show that against...
No.
So it was frustrating for me. Look, we're here to talk about the Istanbul game anyway. So let's get stuck into it. United are top of the group with 6 points. 3 points clear of PSG and Leipzig. They said it was the group of death. We've started off well. We also have the best goal difference. 7 goals scored, 1 conceded. Complete contrast to us in the league. That's a 6+ goal difference. We know a win in this game pretty much puts us through.
We're close to going
through. But
yeah,
we should go
through. We'd have to fall apart from there on out.
Incredibly badly. And it's a huge game in itself. Will we see a slightly different team to the team we saw against Arsenal?
I'm thinking so. I think Ollie wants to rest a couple of players. I can't imagine Paul Pogba starts that game. I think he was poor again. He wasn't the only one who was poor, but he was one of the people who was poor. And there's been a lot mentioned about his fitness and the coronavirus stuff. As I cough. But there's been a lot mentioned about him and his performances this season. And again, he hasn't lived up to what we expect from him.
I find it very lazy though, because yesterday I kind of got annoyed. I kind of read into the title again, which is my own fault, I suppose. I did what people do, and we hate people doing that. Like, I seen Steve's fan game, he was like, Pogba was awful. And I sat there thinking to myself, are we doing this again? It's like, it happens to Marshall. He won't score a game. And I've had people saying he's shit all of a sudden.
Well,
and we miss him when he's not in that number nine position. And sorry, like, I'll let you finish, but on Pogba, and this isn't me defending him, he was awful against Arsenal. But Fred was awful. McTominay was awful. Bruno was awful. So why is it always just about Paul Pogba?
I think there's a couple of reasons why it's just about Paul Pogba. One of which is, and as much as you hate it and as much as whatever, he is meant to be one of the talismen of the talisman of Man United. Yeah, of course.
So is Rashford.
Well, I haven't finished my point yet.
But so are they.
Yeah, but this season, Bruno has got 4 goals, 4 assists. Rashford has got 7 goals, 2 assists. Paul Pogba has been shocking every time he's played. Unless he's come on off the bench.
He hasn't been shocking every time
he's played. He was poor against Crystal Palace. He was poor against
Brighton. Every time he's played?
Unless he's come off the bench is what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless he's come on as a sub and had a cameo where he's looked
excellent. So what's yesterday? The reason we lost against Arsenal, it was down to Paul Pogba.
It was down to Paul Pogba. It was down to Bruno Fernandes and Fred and McTominay. It was down to... All right, then. Here's the thing.
That's why I hate people overlook. Like,
but no, it was a systems game. It was the tactics. Ole didn't adapt. Ole set us up in a way that didn't allow us to defend properly.
Pogba was almost a left winger.
Therefore, we couldn't get out. I think the tactics were poor from Solskjaer and he didn't adapt it, like you said. But when you talk about...
So then we can use the tactics to excuse... Rashford being poor and quiet throughout the whole game. Yeah. Mason Greenwood being poor and quiet throughout the whole game. McTominay not being able to pass wind. Fred giving the ball away left, right. Yeah. So we excuse all these things when the manager gets it wrong. But Paul Pogba still has to perform despite the fact that the manager set him up wrong and he was on the left wing.
But first of all, we're not excusing the rest of them.
But we have.
But what you
we
also,
literally
but
are.
What you, no, we're not. We just said Fred was shit. McTominay was shit. Rashford
but
didn't do
But it's always
anything.
Pogba needs dropped now. But it's always more, I'm not going to say aggressive or vicious because I don't think you're being that. But when it comes to Pogba or Marshall, it's always a little bit something extra with the way that the narrative is.
But I think the difference
is... always the end of the world when it comes to them.
I'm not saying that, Emma. I think the difference with Paul Pogba is he's not been good when he started a match at all this season.
So let me exaggerate a point to make a point.
That's the difference.
When Paul Pogba had that season when he was a player of the year for United.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No one ever said when he had a bad game after that, he was fucking mint last year. It was always, it was always all the way over the top. Mm. Whereas Bruno can have a bad run of games now. And he was mint last year. It's Bruno.
But the thing is,
Pogba never afforded them same luxuries.
I did afford him those luxuries. I'm not one who's been saying we should get rid of Pogba for 2 years. I think he was player of the year when Luke Shaw won it. I think it was ridiculous that Luke Shaw won it. Paul Pogba got 10 plus goals, 10 plus assists that season and was the main reason we had that great run when Ole first came in. I agree with you. I haven't been saying our shit has been for 2 years. I've been saying he has been shit this season every single time he started a match.
Agreed.
And because of that, you've got to think, is it right to start him in the next match? Or, you know, this is the thing.
Had them standards for everybody,
yeah,
not just Paul Pogba, nobody would be starting, bruv. And this is the thing, like, we always have these standards for Marshall and Pogba, but they go missing when it's McTominay and Rashford.
Well, that was the standard for Maguire. That was the same standard for Rice. You wanted Maguire dropped against Newcastle.
Was he?
No,
exactly. Like,
yeah, but
it's always Paul Pogba's fault when
Pogba
other people stink
the
place
out. Pogba played in against Arsenal. He wasn't dropped against Arsenal.
I think people like to make Pogba the problem.
I agree.
He's not the problem. He's not the problem.
He's not the problem, but he is at the moment a problem.
He played badly against Arsenal, by the way. I'm not defending his performance against Arsenal, but I watched that game and I didn't particularly think, Jesus, he's fucking awful.
What he did do that stood out, obviously, was give the penalty away, which gave them the goal and they won the game.
Give the penalty away, innit?
And that's one of those things where it just turns the light straight on him. Because otherwise he could have got away with, he was a bit shit, but the whole midfield was shit. Like, however you want to say it. When you go, he was a bit shit, bang, and he gave the penalty away, he lost us the game. I'm not saying...
But we wouldn't have won that game.
I'm not. Yeah, that's why I haven't mentioned the penalty until now. I'm just saying it focuses on him, maybe in an unfair way, but... He was poor. He has been poor every time he started. And maybe just let him play a few more games coming off the bench when he's looked good. Allow him to look good for a little bit. Get a bit of confidence back. Because I don't know him. I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with him. Is he still a bit unfit? Has he still got some coronavirus symptoms that we don't know about? Is he just, you know, mentally a bit all over the place because he's not had a pre-season? Is he...
I don't think the coronavirus can be used as an excuse anymore.
Well, maybe, yeah, but...
And I don't think the team as a whole can really use pre-season as an excuse anymore. We've had a lot of time, a lot of games now. And we should be getting closer to where we need to be. And look, if Pogba don't start the next game, he don't deserve to start the next game. Mm. I understand. I know I'm going to get people saying, oh, Adam, you're always defending Paul Pogba. But there's always nuance when it comes to other people. There's never nuance when it comes to Marshall or Pogba. And people might think, oh, Adam, you're only saying that because of your best favourite players. All right, cool. They are my favourite players. But I love Rashford too. Mm-hmm. But I also see nuance when people discuss Rashford. They also give him a day off. They let him have it, but other people, they're not allowed to.
There is still the...
Harry Maguire costs £9 million less than Paul Pogba. £9 million less.
But he's been than he's Paul had so Pogba. Much stick this season. Maguire.
£9 million less than Paul Pogba. He doesn't get nowhere near the same kind of levels of stick
not over
as,
the years
as
he
Paul
hasn't.
Pogba does.
Not over
and
the years.
Paul Pogba,
right.
Off the pitch, twice the person.
Except when he's saying,
he
"I want my player for Real Madrid."
He probably deserves. He probably deserves to be treated better than any of these players.
As a man, I think he's a.
But you know what the point I'm trying to make
great.
Is?
But he does do the off the field things where you go, why are you flirting with other teams? He does do that, which is something that if you want the fans
again,
to turn on you, that's one of the biggest things you can do.
Again, that doesn't change the way someone should critique a game, though.
No, I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
And I don't think I'm doing that, but I know your point, and I try to take that into account. But he has been poor this season.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And I don't think anyone's denying that. But he's also played well recently. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it's like...
Good against Leipzig, good against
I think people PSG. Just... They afford other people allowances that they don't for certain other men, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that sometimes comes down to being homegrown. A lot of it comes down to they just don't like people. But it's just... I just find it... I just hate lazy fucking analysis as well. Like, we don't care. No passion. Because normally, these players do care. You think these lot don't care about fucking going out there and stinking the place out or not performing well. But I genuinely feel that Arsenal game was down to tactics.
Yeah, I agree.
This game, Van der Beek, does his start. I think he touched the ball in Arsenal's box more than any of our other players. And he was only on for like 15 minutes.
I would start him, yeah. I think he's every time
ahead of who or where would you start?
Well,
him?
You can look at that midfield, and like you said, all of them deserve to be dropped, or all of them deserve criticism, or whatever. But that's not going to happen because you can't drop everyone because you know we ain't got that many players. I think we'll see Van der Beek in there, but it depends, doesn't it? It depends how he wants to do it because he seems to like Fred and McTominay in these games. He seems to like that industriousness of them. He hasn't really fancied that Matic, Pogba, Bruno triangle that we saw so effectively at the end of last season. He hasn't really fancied that this season. So what do I expect him to do is probably drop Pogba because he's been willing to do that so far this season. I think he'll probably drop Mata. I think he'll resort to a bit more of a industrious, hard-working midfield with Van der Beek and a couple of others in there. But it's hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to know what he's going to do. I think for Van der Beek's sake, we talked about it in the last preview, that I don't buy into this whole, oh, it's unfair on him, I feel sorry for him. He's just moved to the club 2 months ago. Like, let's calm down a little bit. But
hadn't played since March.
Exactly. Their Eredivisie didn't come back after coronavirus, did it? The Ajax was just awarded the league, I think. So he's not really had many games in the last 10 months or 8 months. So, yeah, fair enough. But I think he'll play in this game. And I think he's the sort of player that he can do a little bit of what Bruno does and a little bit of what Pogba does and a little bit of what Matic does. He is that all-rounder that you can plug into any hole in that midfield and he can do the job. So, yeah, I expect him to play.
Mm. I want to see him play. And I actually think Pogba will start this game but won't start Everton. Mm.
Yeah, maybe.
I hate seeing McTominay and Fred both start. Both start.
Does it remind you of the,
no,
of the doldrums last season?
I don't hate them
season.
Starting. Like, I don't mind if one of them starts.
Yeah.
Both of them, it just fucking kills me, man. But it shows you why we need a proper holding midfielder.
No
seeing
one even
Thomas
mentioned.
Partey tear it off Arsenal like that. Like, I said in the summer we needed Thomas Partey.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like, it stops you having to play. I know he had Elneny next to him, but if we have Thomas Partey, you don't have to play Fred and McTominay.
We've got five players as good or better than Elneny.
No, but you know what
exactly.
I mean? You don't
I'm
have to play.
Yeah.
You play Partey, you can play probably Bruno and Pogba.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to. Pogba's not dilly-dallying on it.
And that's the thing. If we had a 27-year-old Nemanja Matic, we could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We need a player who likes to sit deep, who... It's not just tackling. It's not just getting in the way of the ball. It's never losing possession when they have it. It's rotating possession. It's turning the right way and passing it the right way. Sideways 10-yard passes, but never losing possession, never putting pressure on your defence that doesn't need to be there, and always being in the right position. That's what you need from that player. You know, Thomas Partey, he was good and he was... But he wasn't like slide tackle, slide tackle, slide tackle. It was like just marshalling that midfield so well. And yeah, we do need someone to do that from deep.
Edinson Cavani... He was criticised by Roy Keane a little bit, which I found for his warm-up, which I found a little bit weird. He said he didn't really look like a player that wanted to come onto the pitch when he was warming up before the game. Typical Roy Keane, I guess.
I know. Mystic Roy getting in the head of the people who are warming. He's not ready to come on. Why not? He just don't look it, does he? Look
yeah,
at him.
Anyone can get it. And were you surprised to see Cavani not start, not used more in that game? And do you think this is the game he'll make his first start?
I think he will make his first start.
Are we at home?
What? No, it's away, isn't it? It's away first and then home next. I think he will make his first start because I'm expecting... I don't know. I think he might, is what it is. I actually don't think he will start. I would start him, but I don't think he will start.
Because Martial...
Martial's available. And I think we missed him against Arsenal. I think we missed being able to play two wingers either side of a striker, which we just can't do with Martial out. And obviously Cavani isn't fit to start matches in the Premier League. I think it would be a good game for Cavani to start in terms of building his fitness up. But Martial's got to start. Although he is back against Everton. So if you want to give him a rest, which... I mean, not that he needs it, but do you know what I mean? If he wants to think, well, he's definitely starting against Everton, so I might start Cavani in this game. We may see that, but I personally think we'll see Martial and we won't see Cavani. But, you know, he's a different type of player. And the reason I don't think he helped against Arsenal is because we were bringing on a player who relies on chances being created for him and he puts them in the net. We brought him on in a game where we weren't making any chances. At least Martial and Greenwood, whilst they're not poachers, they're not going to be in the box, they're not going to win headers, at least they can stand a man up on the edge of the box, go one way, smack it in. Whereas you're not going to get that from Cavani.
We missed what people underrate from Martial a lot is when you drop a little bit deep and hold the ball, allowing others. How many times do you see Bruno work off Martial, Rashford working off, like coming into those pockets in and around him and popping the ball in? They love doing that and we miss that.
Yeah. And what Martial does really well as well is he wins fouls from his centre-backs. Mm. So if he's backing into holding, he will make it so that if he gets that ball, he has to foul me first.
Like Gabriel, I thought it was a foul at the time when he went through Rashford in the first half. But Martial wins the foul because he's more physical.
Yeah.
You briefly mentioned you don't think Cavani's going to start. So what is your 11? Segue.
Get it up on the screen there. Here's my 11. I think we'll see De Gea again. It just seems as though... Like we saw almost last season.
I looked at that hair thing and I thought that was me in goal for a second.
Very similar. Similar hair.
White guy with a beard.
Yeah, same thing.
Speaks great Spanish.
I think we'll see De Gea because it looks like
he's just... Misses won Eurovision.
Did she? No. Congratulations.
No, Asia Vision.
Well, that'd be good though. Does that exist?
I don't know.
I think we'll see him because he just plays every match, doesn't he? So, you know, I feel a bit bad for Henderson, but... You've got to win your place. Wan-Bissaka, I think we'll see Twanzebe come back. Yep. We don't... Again, Maguire, if he's fit, unless he's injured against PSG, I think he plays every game again.
Do you agree with me that Lindelof has been better than Maguire in recent weeks?
I think Lindelof has been a lot better than he has been. I think they've actually both been good, Newcastle onwards. I think they were good yesterday. I'm not trying to compare them both.
But you've picked Maguire.
Yeah, well, I picked Maguire because I think Solskjaer will pick Maguire. Because
he's captain. Ollie will.
Yeah.
But... If Maguire had the armband, Lindelof all day.
Well, I honestly think that they've both been good since the top.
Yeah, so do I. But Lindelof's been class.
Yeah, maybe.
Stepping out from the back as well.
And good passing as well. But yeah, I think Maguire will play. And Shaw, obviously, Telles has just been in the training ground today for 15 minutes and pissed off again. I've gone Matic and Fred because, like you said, I don't want to see McTominay and Fred start every game. Because it just makes me feel a bit like what we're doing here.
Even though Matic
is a bit... Yeah, but he doesn't lose the ball. He rotates possession. Yeah, he's his dad, but he's got a bit of skill. Got a bit of touch. And I think he brings the ball out better. Even though he's slow and he's a bit all over the place, I think Matic and Fred works quite nicely. Then I've gone Dan James, Bruno Fernandes, Rashford and Martial. I think we'll see Martial. I wouldn't be surprised if we... Maybe saw Cavani and Martial as a split striker and give Rashford a rest because he got battered a bit against Arsenal, didn't he? There's a couple of times he's down holding his back, looks a bit injured. But I think we're going to see a bit of a rotation and I'm going with Dan James in there. You don't like that, do you? What's upsetting you about what you're seeing there?
James.
James Shaw. Who? Dan James.
Maguire.
You're right, Adam.
We're shit, innit?
No, we're not shit. We're quite good, actually.
What's my team? I haven't got my phone here, so I've forgotten it.
There you go.
Is that it?
You got Telles on there, and he's got COVID, so I reckon we might not see that. This is Adam's dream team.
I've had the exclusive look at his COVID results.
Yeah, go on then.
Me and goal.
Yeah.
Okay, David De Gea. Haven't got my readers on. That's what my nan used to say. Wan-Bissaka. Axel. Do and say,
look good.
Axel.
Go on.
Axel. Axel. And then I'd be the echo.
You're my backing.
Yeah. That's what giggity. Lindelof. Alex Telles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what annoys me?
That Telles ain't going to play because he's got COVID?
Yeah, that. Then I've got Matic, Pogba, Bruno because I think he'll go super uber defensive.
Old
against
school.
Everton.
2019, 2020 style.
2019 thing with the front three as well.
Mm,
the
balls.
2019 thing.
Oh, look at that front six.
Marshall, Rashford, Greenwood. We've got Rashford and Marshall and Fred.
Not playing.
Yeah, so that's...
Why don't you like that either? You're so nervous and stressed and upset, aren't you?
Do you know what? I'm just sick of it, you know.
What are you sick of?
Sick of the false dawns, the hope, the misery. We sign players that we think are amazing and then the shit.
Like who?
We turn them to shit.
Like who?
Just loads of them.
Schneiderlin.
Yeah. Schweinsteiger.
Oh.
Like, we even fucking punished Schweinsteiger, imagine that.
Di Maria, who
Manchester
was
United since Fergie punished Bastian Schweinsteiger, one of the best professionals of all time. Punished him. Made him train with the reserves.
Memphis.
Falcao. We're fucked. Like, when Fergie left, if we said, like, oh, we're going to get Sanchez and Zlatan and Pogba and Di Maria and Falcao and I'd have been like, how many European Cups are we winning then?
Yeah, all of them. Don't need anyone else. That's it. That's us.
Instead, we've got Ed Woodward and his merry men.
Fellaini.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is our manager. All due respect, but
yeah.
To even have made that decision is a mistake in itself. Even if he goes on to win the Champions League, that decision being made
was a bad decision.
Time was a bad. It was a decision made by a club that was saying to us, we are doing our due diligence. We are doing our research. We are going to interview people. And then we gave it out again. Like a fucking Willy Wonka's golden ticket. When we give it to fucking David Moyes.
Yeah, but you saw Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had been in bed for 12 years up until the point where we came to him. And he was like, Grandpa Joe in bed over in Mulder. He hasn't walked in 10 years since he was in Cardiff. Things didn't go well for him, so he went, you know what, I'm going to bed. And one sniff of that golden ticket, it was up like a shot, dancing around the bedroom again. All the family, they can feed him. Straight at the gates of Willy Wonka and Ed Woodward.
I need to just get back on the 21 is coming bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly. He was so confident at the start.
I need everyone at home.
We're still going to win the Champions League. Here's a question for you, Adam. Would you take finishing 17th place, but winning the Champions League this season?
Bro, just I'd take finishing 17th place if we won a game.
Just one more win, I'll take it. Anything. You would though, wouldn't you? You'd take the Champions League at 17. People
that.
Were saying...
I'd be unbearable. I would be champions of Europe.
Best team in Europe. And it does matter when people say like, oh, well, we'll have to win the Champions League to qualify for next year. Like winning
it. Punishment.
Like winning it isn't the thing we're going for here. Not like, oh no, we'll qualify for it by winning it. Like, no, the winning it's the good bit. Who cares about qualifying next year if we've won it this year?
Yeah, because hopefully the players would be so fucked off winning it that they won't be able to perform in it next year.
So that's what we're going to have to do then. Win the Champions League, finish 17th.
I still hate football.
Mm.
No, it is. Especially when you got... These men don't even have a shot on target, bro. And we let them come to Old Trafford and we pulled our panties down for them.
I hate to say it, Adam, but this is the Besiktas preview. You're still turned up by the Arsenal match, aren't you? He's turned himself inside
fucking
out.
Fucking hate them bastards. And I have since ever.
Should we talk a bit about Istanbul Besiktas?
They got Raphael.
They have got Raphael.
Can we talk about him?
Yeah, we'll talk a bit about him.
What's your favourite Raphael memory?
The one where he smacked in the... Was it against QPR. Liverpool, wasn't it?
Oh, no, the Liverpool goal.
That one.
He had a great goal against QPR as well.
Yeah, he did. But the one against Liverpool. Didn't we lose the game against Liverpool?
No, we won. Well, it was 2012-13. Was it before Van Persie's penalty or after Van Persie's penalty, Jay? Raphael's goal at Anfield. Was it 1-1 that goal or 2-1? Because they went ahead. Yeah, I think it made it 1-1. Raphael did anyway.
But yeah, that's my favourite memory.
It was a great
him running
goal.
Back to the halfway line.
It's all also there's run. Also that picture from that game where he's just taking on everyone.
Yeah, great. That's my favourite memory of his.
Yeah, I love Raphael.
But my next favourite one is when he scores 6 own goals on purpose on Wednesday, so we win.
There was I remember when we played, was it Fenerbahce? And we all wanted Van Persie to score.
Same with David. When we played against AC Milan, we're like, oh, go on, David, have a goal. The other week, we played Derby. Rooney had that free kick. We're like, you know what? In a way, I wish we'd have conceded that. He deserved that.
He
scored 250 goals for us. We don't need to give him three
I
ones.
I celebrated Van Persie's goal. Like, we had scored when he scored his
first. You're a disgrace. You're a turncoat and a disgrace. That's treason.
But few people around me did
celebrating the destruction of our own
Can we just bring Danny Welbeck back?
Istanbul are currently seventh in the Super League. They've won three wins on
the bounce. They got Demba Ba.
10 points. 10 points, 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. That's not bad, is it? 3 losses even. That is bad, actually. Demba Ba, he was good at Chelsea. Wasn't he good at Newcastle?
What's your favourite Demba Ba memory?
It's not a specific memory, but do you know when he first turned up at Newcastle and it was just like, oh, this guy's really good.
Was it him or Cissé that scored that goal at Chelsea?
Cissé. The one the outside the foot curler. That was Cissé.
Demba Ba scored when Gerrard slipped. My favourite memory.
Oh, of course, that's a favourite memory. I didn't think of it. Because I'm thinking of Newcastle Demba Ba. I loved it when Demba Ba turned up at Newcastle.
Gerrard fucked it up again. Now you're going to believe us.
He's happy again now, isn't he?
Now you're going to believe us. We're going to win the league. Champions League. We're going to win the Champions League.
Champions League.
We're going We've won it four times. We've won it 4 times. Where's the final this year?
Istanbul.
In it? No, it's not.
I think it is.
No, you can't sing that because then that sounds like a Liverpool song if you sing that.
I think it's in Istanbul, isn't it? Anyway, it's not Nasser Chadli also plays for them, formerly of West Bromwich Albion, your home team. Oh, you know, I thought you were a West Brom fan.
Fuck off.
Oh, sorry.
My local team.
Who is your local
team? I was born and raised. In West Philadelphia.
In West Bromwich Albion, born and raised.
Nah, I was born and raised in Lazare / Aston.
The Lazelle's Lizards.
B19. All day.
Is that your Tinder bio?
Shout out again. Serious. Hello. LLZ on the map. I'll put it on the map.
Right.
Put it.
It's in Istanbul. I knew it was.
What is in Istanbul?
The final. This season. Istanbul. The final.
What's happened to his head?
Finally, the chance for
us. But then, if we win the Champions League, our song is going to sound like their song.
No, that's good. It's like you usurping them, isn't it?
No, because they've got you just six, you fucking...
Yeah, but we'd ignore that.
Yeah, that's good.
They haven't really, have they?
They haven't got six.
Can I get some sanitizer for that hand, please?
I only put it on my bum.
The whole hand?
Just that side. On that note, thank you for tuning in to, what was this? The Arsenal moan?
Yeah, you still grieving and venting about Arsenal is what this was. It's meant to be.
I fucking hate Arsenal.
What's your prediction for the
Arsenal
Istanbul game?
I fucking hate them from school days. Rude versus Henry, Keane versus Vieira.
Rude versus Keane. Ah! That's my least favourite. Score prediction for the game on Wednesday?
4-0.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm going to go 3-0 instead. Right, that's going to be all from us. Adam McCullough, he's got all his hate out about Arsenal. Get your score prediction in the comments. Let us know whether you think our teams are going to be the right one. Let us know if you think Alex Tellez is going to play like Adam does. He's lost his mind, bless him. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you in a bit.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.